And welcome to the Steve Jones Show on this Thursday. Great to have you with us. The day after the Kyle Kendrick gem. Six runs in the ninth inning for the Phillies last night, which essentially put the game away. But somehow, some way, the Phillies survived the Kyle Kendrick start.
And the bullpen actually showed up.
Yeah, I know.
I'm ecstatic about that. But big grand slam in the ball game kind of makes it a little bit easier to pitch.
Yeah, Luna hit one out last night.
Yeah. I mean, and he was one of the guys they called up just recently. So there's some hope. There's some hope, a glimmer of hope.
Well, I mentioned the other day the one thing you hadn't noticed is that that the Phillies had not been getting position players to come up and change things around. Well, Luna comes up and he does that. Gave him a little bit of a boost, and that was tremendous to see last night. They beat the Cubs, ran them out of Wrigley last night. And again, it was against, you know, the early runs were against Matt Garza. And Matt Garza is a fine pitcher, and they were able to get the job done. So Philly fans have to feel pretty good after the craziness of the other day where Hunter Pence finally bailed them out and they won. And I think the most entertaining part was you in complete agony the other day.
listen, the bullpen, every time the bullpen gets the game, Phillies fans have to get nervous. There's just no way around it. It's just the way it is.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm very happy the offense is showing up, especially Carlos Ruiz, who may be the National League All-Star catcher this year.
Right. Ruiz, you know what I think of Ruiz.
Oh, yeah.
Love Ruiz. Just think the way he hits. And I think that, you know, I... The whole way through. I just love the way he hits. Let's see. Let's go to the email. Jack and Maria sent an email. Hi, guys. Just a couple points, if I may. Really enjoy the show. Not able to phone in. Listen while at work. But there are a few times that I wanted to throw my two cents in. Okay? Number one. Star system for recruits. Agree that they are overblown, but it gives those of us who are not recruit geeks a gauge on their ability and potential. That's a good point, and that's a point I do understand. Most of us understand that there may be some that fall through short of the hype, as well as those who, like Mr. Jack Ham, will surprise the experts. I guess the rankings at least give us something to root for. Good point. We all agree that... the interest from other schools is a much better predictor. Okay, that's, of course, they're talking about what I mentioned the other day. The other one is they love the personal stories. Telling stories about Jack, Joe, Fran, anyone else for that matter. They think it's a real treat, especially the humorous ones. Thanks for that. Well, appreciate that. Didn't know I was funny. No.
Listen, I've heard a lot of these stories over the years, and they are well worth it.
I've only scratched the surface in that regard. It's never too early or late to discuss Penn State football. We try to do that every day. As you know, we try to do that every day, talking something about Penn State football. And I've tried to talk about positions. I have tried to talk about the coaches, have tried to talk about the caravan, the experience I had with Bill O'Brien last Thursday in Scranton. So we try to get as much football in as possible, because I am in complete agreement with Jack and Maria, is that you cannot get enough football on the show. And believe me, we will be football heavy. I'm going to do a sit down with Bill O'Brien in June. That's probably the easiest month to do that. But I'm also going to do some sit downs with the assistant coaches along the way. There's 10 assistant coaches, because I include Fitzy. Craig Fitzgerald is one of the assistants in strength and conditioning. And it's going to be really a get to know you deal. And we'll do this over a period of time, but, I think it's very important that we do get to know you. And they're both absolutely right about that. Number four, Kevin deserves all the abuse he gets.
I'm not quite sure how to take that.
I think it's just somebody. I think you're just talking about two people who flat out get it.
Yeah, there you go. That's probably it. Yeah.
So that's just a note from some of the fans out there. No, I thought it was nice. They included you. I mean, they saved the best for last.
Is that what it was? Yeah, it was very nice to be included in there. And don't forget the email address is stevejones@wkok.com if you'd like to send an email as well.
Now, we've also had suggestions on email as well about schools to play. Pitt, USC are two of them I saw come up, and I had a Notre Dame come up as well on the list of emails that we have received so far. And I've found those answers to be intriguing, and I have found those answers to, I thought very good comments. Now, on Steve Jones' show on Facebook, Rich wrote, "Yes, I like them in the Big Ten. It has made them play more competitive teams in conference. Their out-of-conference, though, has been lax." All right. I want to talk about that for a moment. And this will, again, for Jack and Maria, they'll enjoy the fact we're back talking Penn State football again. I want to talk about the football scheduling for a moment. And this is something when I do the sit-down with Bill O'Brien in a couple of weeks, I will talk to him about scheduling and down the road. Because, look, he has a complete handle on everything. Let's start with that. I've not been around many people that have the quiet confidence that Bill O'Brien has. I think what he's done has been remarkable so far. But let's get to the scheduling part. There are four scheduled openings that Penn State has in its schedule. They have tried hard to put a marquee team in a home and away situation in that schedule since they've gone to this schedule. And they've also tried to include as many of the Eastern teams as possible within the framework of that schedule. They've also tried to put a second school on there that may not be an elite school but is really good. So let's talk about that part. The non-conference schedule has been developed in this way. And let me just go back to really when I started doing the play-by-play of these games. My second season, I did a game at home with Miami, which was a return from the 99 game, and Miami won the national championship. All right? This is Dorsey. This was Jeremy Shockey. This was all those guys. So that was in 2001. They put Boston College on there for 2 years. It was actually at a point with Tom O'Brien that they were pretty good. They've also had on there Virginia, was also on that schedule at the same time. In fact, Penn State played Miami and Virginia in the same season and then played Boston College and Virginia in the same season. They were supposed to play Alabama in 4 and 5. That was when it was supposed to be. And then when Alabama went on probation, was down to 60 scholarships, they asked Penn State if they could push it back. They did push it back, and thus they did. And Penn State then had to fill the holes there. They get Notre Dame on in 6 and 7. When they scheduled Syracuse, and this I'm sure is the rub for a lot of people, in 8 and 9. When they scheduled Syracuse, they did this when Paul Pasqualoni was the coach, and they were winning 10 games a year. It was a good scheduled game. And then, of course, they hit hard times. Paul was fired. He's now, of course, the head coach at UConn. And it wasn't quite the same, and thus you felt like there was a hole in the schedule in 8 and 9 by having Syracuse there. I understand that. Then you get, of course, 10 and 11. Now, in 10 and 11, you had at Alabama, and then a really improving Temple team. And then in 11, you had Alabama at home, and then on the road, again, an improving Temple team, a good Temple football team. Not great, awesome, and incredible, but those are two of the four holes that they filled. Now, this year's schedule has four schools that, while they won't bring marquee to the table, they're going to give this coaching staff a really good read on where they are. And I think that's important, giving them a really good read on where they are, especially in this particular year. Ohio University, coming off a bowl victory, their first ever. They went 10-4 last year. Frank Solich, the head coach, so you know he knows how to get it done. Then you have at Virginia. Then Virginia really came on at the end of last year, and they're going to be a very good team. Navy's been in the bowl picture now for a long time, and it's now finally not unusual if they beat Notre Dame. And then you have Temple, which we know from Al Golden to Steve Addazio is an improving team, and of course they went to a bowl game last year. So you do not have a spectacular non-conference team on there. You also do not have a mediocre non-conference team on there. Bill O'Brien and his staff will have a very good read on where their football team is as to what they're capable of, what they're not capable of, where they're improving, and where they're not going into the Illinois game based on that non-conference schedule. Now, next year, Virginia will be here. That'll be part of the non-conference schedule next year, and also Temple's back on the schedule next year. 14-15 was supposed to be Nebraska. That was what was supposed to be on the schedule, is Nebraska. Well, obviously, now they're playing Nebraska anyway. They're in the conference. And because of that, they filled the hole with Rutgers. Now, Kevin has, of course, pointed out the 14 schedule where there's still a game to be scheduled. And I think Bill is going to try to go out and see if he can hit a home run with that thing. 16-17, Pitt will be on the schedule, but starting in 17 as well, you will have a Pac-12 team on the schedule. Because that's when the Pac-12 Big Ten agreement begins for football in 17. So you're going to have a Pac-12 team on the schedule every year from 17 on, and it could be anybody from USC to Arizona, Arizona State, Oregon, could be Washington, could be Colorado, could be Utah. And that's the schedule that, you know, and then you have three holes to fill, and I know he wants to fill one of those other three spots with a marquee team. Now, it is important that you balance your schedule out with seven home games. Seven home games are going to be important because the finances from those seven home games are critical. And in non-conference games, you're dealing with guarantees. It's not splitting the gate.
But is that why we've seen over the last few years, and I know fans, a lot of fans had this same feeling, why the Akrons, the Youngstown State, the Central, Eastern, Western, all the Michigans? I mean, is that the reason to fill out the schedule because you couldn't find another willing team? I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
You need to get teams on your schedule that that come to your place and you don't have to return. And it's a guarantee. It's one game, you're done. Now remember, Penn State in 8 had to fill its schedule, and they dropped Arkansas State. And they got Oregon State to come in. And Mike Riley's program's a really good program. Really good program. And I think that that was a positive move. They're trying to get more RPI into their schedule. That's what they were trying to do, and they did in 2008. Turned out being Big Ten champions. So you have to look at everybody else's schedule. I know we get so locked in and focused on what Penn State does with its schedule. But in order to give yourself a sense of perspective, you need to sit down and pick 10 schedules and make sure they're 10 schedules from each one of the five legitimate BCS conferences. Pitt is, the Big East is not. But the other ones that are legitimate, the five legitimate BCS conferences, you have to be able to look at those same things Penn State's doing. Now, I feel you need to have two really good games that are competitive, and then the other two should be games that you still have to fight to win. You just can't have I'm not for the Indiana State mail-em-in games.
The cakewalk games.
Right. I don't think you get much out of that unless you have a really young team and you just need to get some confidence right out of the gate. You know, or if you're stuck. Sometimes you get stuck on a schedule, Kevin. Sometimes you get stuck, a team needs to bail. And when that happens, all right. That I understand. Those are circumstances beyond your control.
Then you pick up wherever you can.
Wherever you can to fill that in because you need the game. For example, Penn State basketball now is trying to fill a game at the Barclays Center. Manhattan can't play them now. But they still want to play at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn on December 22nd. So now they're trying to find an opponent to fill that spot. And they still have one more spot, by the way, to fill anyway. But you have to do that. All right, today's show being brought to you by our great friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. They handle Kevin's fortune. They can handle yours. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their Memorial Day sales event. Choose from over 250 new Fords with discounts up to $10,000. Pick from 25 Ford Fusions slash to as low as $18,925. The 40 MPG Ford Focus is reduced to $15,430. Sunbury Motors has truckloads of new F-150s arriving daily. Pick from over 70 with savings up to $7,000. This is why Sunbury Motors has been the number one selling F-150 dealer in the entire Philadelphia region 3 years running. Choose from over 45 of the top-selling Escapes, and they start as low as $18,400. 0% financing is available on most models, and every new vehicle from SMC comes with an extra set of tires. Plus, with the first 100 new vehicles purchased, you'll receive a chance to win a 2012 Mustang convertible to benefit the Sunbury Fire Department. SMC in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And at sunburymotors.com. Proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley for almost a century. Sale ends May 31st.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Our show being brought to you by our good friends at Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com at the beautiful Chateau, home of the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Dana O'Neill from ESPN.com in our next half hour. Third half hour, Ron Cook, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Final half hour, Kevin.
Well, there's no fanfare there. Where was all the fanfare there? Come on.
Let's go back now to the the email I received. Once again, the email I received, you care for me to quote it?
You have this framed on your wall in the Sunbury Motor Studio, don't you?
Oh, no need. Star recruiting. We'll get the star recruiting system in a second. But see, Jack and Maria wrote me this email at Steve Jones show at WKOK.com. All right. Fabulous points that they make. Star system and recruiting. I get to point four, though. Kevin deserves all he gets. All right. Wow.
That's the part that was bold and highlighted, I think. Yeah.
Right. Now, we were talking about scheduling before for Penn State football. I think you're going to see a shift because Bill O'Brien has this, I talked about the quiet confidence that he has. And he feels, look, I think he has that feeling, let's take on all comers, which I think fans, of course, they love that. Do they love it if you're 7-5? All right. Now, he's not going to go 7-5. Now, he'll do far better than that because this guy can flat out coach. I mean, I just watched 15 practices with him. And I can tell you in 15 practices, dude knows what he's doing. I think Wayne Sebastianelli, when we were up at Scranton last week, I think phrased it exactly right. He's the real deal. And look, he's openly said, I'd love to see Pitt on the schedule every year. Now, does Pitt need the game more than Penn State? No question about it. No question about it. But still, I don't think it hurts at all. Although I've always laughed when I've heard the legislature may get involved. Look, check, you know, keep my taxes down, okay? Right, like, do your job, okay? Leave the scheduling the football to the professionals. Thank you.
Really, the legislature?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, now I shouldn't have done this, all right? But I did it anyway. This is a few years ago. I am speaking to the legislators at the Founders Room at the Jordan Center. It was before a game. And one of them raises their hand and he says, what about playing Pitt every year? And I explained, you know, that all the logistics that had happened over the years, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, he says, we may have to legislate something. I said, I looked at him and said, legislate something? I said, it took you 101 days to come up with a budget. The room, of course, went. Because this is right after they'd gone through that prolonged...
It's strange, though, that you were audited right after that. It was really, I don't quite understand that.
Yeah, well, I know there are people waiting at the door after the game. Like, how are you? I thought, okay. It was just a one-liner. All right, news is next. Bottom of the hour here on WKOK. We'll come back with Dana O'Neill of ESPN.com, who loves the legislature, right after the news.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back here at the Chateau, Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show, the Thursday edition, as always, being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. You can call Rick at 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. He handles Kevin's fortune. He can handle yours. That was an ad lib at the end.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, it was just an ad lib.
Oh, that's a pretty good ad lib, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you keep bragging about it. I'm like, okay, might as well fit into the show somewhere. All right. Dana O'Neill, ESPN.com, writes college basketball. She is a Penn State graduate. So, Dana, I want to welcome you to the show. And we were talking the other day about top hires in college basketball, unexpected ones. And the one I came up with was John Gross in Illinois. Did a great job at Ohio University. And now they hire him in Illinois. And Illinois is not the glamour job that Illinois fans happen to think it is. What were your thoughts on that hire with the Fighting Illini?
Yeah, we just talked about that yesterday on ESPN.com. We were debating, like, who was the best offseason hire, and that's who I went with, was John Gross. I think you're right. I think, first of all, I think Illinois fans have a little bit of delusions of grandeur. I think they think their job is better than it is, at least right now. Can it be a great job? Yeah, it's just not right now. It hasn't, but it's a hard job. It's a really hard job, and it's not getting any easier in the Big Ten. So, you know, I understand you got to go for your Shaka Smarts and your Brad Stevens. Fine, swing for the fences. But when they inevitably say no, you need someone that's got some energy, who's got some recruiting ties to the Midwest, who can not just get in with top talent, but can also go find a few needles in a haystack, because right now Illinois is going to need them, and I think John Gross has done all of that. You know, they beat North Carolina and go to the Elite Eight. John Gross is a hot name. So, and that's one free throw away from making that happen this year for Ohio University. So I thought he was a great hire, frankly.
I thought he was a great hire as well. I mean, he went out and found a guy like DJ Cooper, for example, and then made it work in the Mid-American Conference. And for Illinois when Illinois was successful in years past, they were able to get into Chicago and get players out of there. Now, you can debate how they got the players out of there, and that, of course, now becomes the issue as to why Illinois may not be the job that their fans perceive it to be.
Yeah, I mean, look, Chicago is, a like New York, a tough riddle to crack in terms of the characters you're going to deal with there. There's no question about that. But, you know, I think if you're Illinois or you're any of these, quote, BCS programs, yeah, you want to win your backyard, but you also have to be able to nationally recruit. Go find the best players wherever they are, you know, and that's fine. And I think, you know, if you look at John Gross's track record with under Thad Matta at Ohio State, he helped bring Greg Oden, Mike Conley, and Deshaun Thomas to Ohio State. Those are three pretty darn good players. So I think the idea is you go find the best players wherever they are, and maybe when a few take a chance and roll the dice on Illinois, suddenly to the kids in Chicago, the school down the street doesn't look a lot more attractive.
A very tough job is the one that Tim Miles takes over at Nebraska.
give us a read on Tim Miles and what he did at Colorado State, and also give us a read on the kind of job that someone can do at Nebraska, because really they have been a top-out NIT program for many years.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a great – I think he's another great hire. Here's a guy with a ton of energy, first of all, and a ton of personality. And Nebraska, to me, is sort of a blank slate right now as a basketball program. There is no identity there. There is no tradition there. There is no, oh, Nebraska basketball, that makes me think of what? That makes me think of a vast wasteland, frankly. So Tim Miles kind of puts a brand and a face to that. And for a while, he's going to have to be the guy. He's going to have to be the face of Nebraska. I like Doc Sadler. I like him a lot. I respect him. I think he did a decent job. But, you know, Doc Sadler's not the kind of guy that you're going to be like, yeah, Doc Sadler, he's my coach. Tim Miles is the kind of guy who's got that sort of energy and verve that he can get that done. And, you know, he obviously did a great job at Colorado State, which is what made Nebraska interested in him. But, you know, as you know, climbing the rungs of the Big Ten, like climbing the rungs of the Big East, when you're at the bottom, it's a long walk up. So, you know, it's going to take a while because Nebraska has to form some version of an identity and convince people that it is a place worth going to, that it's not just a football school. And that takes time.
It does take time. And obviously I've witnessed it personally for many years in the Big Ten. They're also going to get a new arena out there, not this year, but the year after that. So at least recruiting wise, he'll be able to bring them recruits into a place that will give them a major league feel, something that Devaney does not give you.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's huge for a program like Nebraska. Look, I mean, they, like to me, I always used to call Penn State basketball one of the seven wonders of the world. I mean, you have a rabid fan base that is desperate for something to do in the winter, that is all about the college program. Nebraska's just like that. You have a great league to sell. You know, you have the opportunity to go out and play really top talent teams. So you just need the guy who's going to get the players there. Now, Nebraska's an even harder sell because you're in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's not like there's a great, obvious recruiting, you know, niche for you to go exploit. But I think if you can go find a few guys, look, you can get things done and sell the dire need for something to do in Lincoln, Nebraska from December to April. People will go if they're good.
I agree with that. They will go if they're good. And I've been out there when they've had a couple pretty good teams, and the fans mm-hmm. do respond. They want to be a part of it. You were around Patrick Chambers enough when he was at Villanova. He's had one season under his belt here at Penn State. You called Penn State one of the seven wonders. When you look at his energy, enthusiasm, the style, and the guy you know, what do you think of what he can do here at Penn State?
I thought he was the home run hire. I really did. I'm partial. God knows I've known him a long time, and I like him a lot. But he was exactly what I thought Penn State had needed. Like Nebraska, they needed a personality, they needed a presence, they needed some energy. And I know Pat was with, you know, Jay Wright for a lot of years, and I can remember when Jay Wright went to Villanova when he was first hired. You know, Villanova kind of was on the skids a little bit, and I can remember going with Jay where he literally stood on tables at the cafeterias and tried to get students to get interested, recognizing he needed them first. And Patrick has done the exact same thing at Penn State, riding around the golf carts. And, you know, everyone says it's hokey and all that. Yeah, it is. But you know what? You need people to pay attention and know that you're there. That's the first step. And I think he is exactly that guy. He is wants to win. He's fiercely competitive. He has great recruiting contacts. And look, I mean, bringing DJ Newbill in this year, I don't think that can be undersold. That's a huge grab for Penn State, not just because of his talent, but he's a Philly kid. You need some Philly kids.
And he's a Philly kid that has three more years of eligibility remaining, and now you put him in combination with Tim Frazier, and, of course, I've had the advantage. I've seen them work together before because of practices. But it is a step forward because he really had to start from square one with this.
Yeah, you know, I used to laugh last year. I'd watch Tim Frazier with his statistics, and people, you know, and I would tweet once in a while, like, Tim would have like seven assists, and I would try to make people understand, do you know how difficult that is? Because sort of the old Bugs Bunny skit where it's first base Bugs Bunny, second base Bugs Bunny, I mean, Tim Frazier would have to pass to himself to make a basket. So for him to have another scoring threat makes things ridiculously better for Penn State basketball. Now, you know, obviously it's not overnight success. They're not going to be in the Sweet 16 next year, but you now have something for people to get excited about. You now have something for recruits to watch. Okay, now he's got players. How's he going to coach them? What kind of style can they play? Is it where I want to go? Why did DJ Newbill think this was a good place? It's the start of something, and that's the only thing you can hope for right now, is the start of something.
In fact, Dick and I felt that Tim probably left 60 assists minimum out there last year on missed shots. Let's just take 2 per game. He probably lost 60 assists. Yeah,
and I mean, that's why, you know, I think he was probably one of the most underappreciated, undervalued players in the country, certainly in the Big Ten, because he had to do everything for a team that didn't have much surrounding him at all. His numbers were still astronomically great, but imagine how much better they could have been if he had a running mate. Now he has one, and now let's see how that works.
And Newbill's a guy who was Conference USA All-Freshman Team, tough as nails. I mean, mm-hmm. I probably, to be honest with you, just watching him in practice, there's 15 seconds to go in a game. He probably would be the first guy I would actually select to take the last shot. That's how tough I think he is mentally.
I think, you know, I hate to use stereotypes, but there is sort of an image of what a, quote, Philly guard, what a Philly kid kind of is, and that's what they are. I mean, you know, I think of when Villanova had Kyle Lowry. They're not only tough and talented, they're fearless. They want the ball in their hands. They don't care about the situation. You're going to have to stop me. Thank you very much. And he comes straight out of that cloth. So, yeah, I mean, he is that kind of a guy. And I think there is something, too, beyond all the talent and all that he brings. It's that presence and that energy and that attitude. You need your players to pass that down to the next group of players, and he's the kind of guy that can do that for you for 3 years.
The moves that we've seen in conference realignment have all dealt with football. They have not dealt with basketball. In the end, basketball has to deal with it. In basketball terms, when you look at some of the moves that have been made, are there any moves that have been made that will benefit the basketball programs that made the moves?
Well, I mean, certainly on the smaller scale right now, what we just saw yesterday and last week, obviously VCU and Butler moving to the Atlantic.
I wanted to ask you about that one. I found that one to be interesting because VCU had carved itself a nice niche in the Colonial, and they were making the tournament out of the Colonial.
Yeah, I think that's true, but you know, I think they're trying to read some tea leaves here, and Old Dominion is threatening potentially to walk, and George Mason has been dithering about and wondering what they're going to do, and so you wonder, all right, what are we going to do here in the Colonial, and is there a ceiling? You know, where you could be the fourth place team in the Atlantic 10 on a lot of years and still make an argument for an at-large bid. If you're the fourth place team in the CAA,
you don't make it.
Probably not going to happen.
Right.
So I think that was part of it for them. But, you know, certainly for teams like that, they make some sense. You know, the rest of them, you know, Missouri to the SEC, certainly for a football standpoint, good luck.
Right.
Is it going to hurt them in basketball? No, they're a very good basketball program. Frank Cave has it going. The SEC, when you have to remove, like, Kentucky and Florida, it's usually an open bag anyway.
Right.
But it seems to me that every one of these decisions is sort of like basketball has been tossed in the bag and brought along whether they want to go or not. So I have a hard time finding the natural rivalries and things like that. So I get kind of caught up in that. Maybe I shouldn't. I'm kind of old school that way. But I don't like to see Missouri and Kansas not playing one another anymore.
No, that bothers me, that Missouri and Kansas won't be playing each other any longer, because that's one of the great traditional rivalries in college basketball. It's helped build the sport.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you start looking, like I said, you can start looking at, you know, other ones, you know, like out west with BYU. That helps them, certainly. But, you know, in terms of the big ones, in terms of the big realignments, you know, the Big East, sure, Memphis, that helps Memphis basketball tremendously. I mean, Memphis is already a valuable product in and of itself. You put them in the Big East brand, that helps them. Central Florida, SMU, Houston, they don't move the needle for me at all.
So what?
Say
that's under the so what category. I mean, yeah, okay, so what, they made the move. What about Temple? Because when Temple got kicked out because of football attendance, but they were never allowed to be a full member of the Big East. And you and I both know that Temple basketball would have competed just fine all those years in the Big East. I mean, John had some teams that were tough as nails that would have enhanced the Big East. What do you think what do you think about the move now?
Yeah, well, I think it makes sense for them now. It kind of makes me laugh. That's when I said we've actually, you know, reached the point of insanity in conference realignment when the Big East had to save itself by reinviting back the team it kicked out. I mean, that just says everything you need to know about where we are. But, you know, from a football standpoint, obviously, it helps them a lot. I had to chuckle, though, when I was sitting listening to them have their kumbaya moment at the Big East tournament welcoming Temple, and they're talking about this great Philly market that they're bringing. Well, not for nothing. Temple football is way better than it used to be. But you can line up 50 people in the city of Philadelphia, and probably 47 of them have never gone to watch a Temple football game. Mm-hmm. It doesn't move the needle, so I don't quite get that. But it certainly it gives them a presence and a chance, I suppose. Basketball-wise, I think Duff can compete. I think it becomes interesting because now you're going to be challenging Villanova. You're going to be challenging all these. You know, Syracuse has a pretty nice pipeline into Philadelphia. So where he gets his players, I'm not sure. It'll be a little bit difficult sledding. I mean, I think he's going to find that, you know, Temple's comfortable spot in the top three almost every year of the Atlantic 10 is going to maybe be in the top six of the Big East. Mm-hmm. But I certainly still think they can compete. I think Dump is a phenomenal coach, so I still think they can compete.
I think he is a marvelous coach, and I think he recruits well, mm-hmm. which I give him a lot of credit for, but he's an outstanding tactician.
Yeah, and you know, and he also, I mean, he recruits the kind of players that he knows are going to work for him. I mean, he gets the kind of kids that he wants. And, yeah, I think sometimes, you know, he's undersold. I'll admit, when he jumped from Penn to Temple, I was worried. I thought, geez, how's he going to do this? I mean, this is, you know, Temple's a hard sell. It's North Philly. It's, you know, it's not for everybody. How's he? And he has proven me wrong 110 times over. So.
No question. And Dana wants you to stick around. We'll come back with more of Dana O'Neill from ESPN.com on WKOK after this.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Okay, welcome back. Rejoined by Dana O'Neill from ESPN.com. We've been talking college basketball this half hour. John Marinato out as Big East Commissioner. Dana, is he scapegoat or is he actually partially responsible for everything that's gone wrong?
Well, I think, you know, certainly he's a little bit of both, but I think he's probably more scapegoat than anything else. I mean, you know, the conference commissioners kind of do what the presidents tell them, and I think when Mike Trangisi retired, I think that this conference president thought, oh, this is a kind of a good chance for us to sort of take things over and do what we want to do. And so they found a nice guy, a Big East guy, born and raised in Providence, never has left the city of Providence, who is, you know, as mired in the tradition of the Big East as anybody can be, instead of finding someone like a Larry Scott, who is forward-thinking and, you know, hiring someone of the day, they hired someone from the former day. And I don't think they did that unknowingly, frankly. I don't know that they did it maliciously. I don't think they set him up to fail. But certainly they hired a nice puppet, and then when the strings weren't going the way they wanted, they found a nice guy to throw under the bus. You know, is he responsible? Sure. I mean, he's the commissioner, and, you know, he needed to take charge of that. But he's not that personality. He's a wonderful man, nice man, but he does not have the personality to be a conference commissioner, not with a group of people. You put him on a ledge with Mike Slive and Jim Delaney and Larry Scott, you know, really? I mean, it's like the Sesame Street, which one of these doesn't fit? You know, that's who John Marinato was.
When Dave Gavitt put the Big East together, the Oklahoma-Georgia lawsuit hadn't even been brought to the table yet, which then opened up the door for all the college football that we see on TV, which then opened the door to all the money we see. And that's why all the realignment you see today is based on what happens with football. When Dave Gavitt put the Big East together, the Big East was disorganized and had the ECAC, and he decided to do something to organize it. This was not his eventual vision. He was actually a forward thinker that had a great idea, and then what happened is other people who didn't have forethought in the early 80s kept it from being pushed forward, and now the Big East is a league and not a conference.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you know, Dave Gavitt recognized the need to sort of consolidate the interest on the East Coast, and that's frankly where the Big East should have stayed. I mean, you know, adding Louisville and Cincinnati, that didn't hurt them. Right. Marquette, you know, those are all good schools, and they're good basketball programs, and that's all fine. But, you know, even those little twitches obviously changed things substantially, and it sort of opened the floodgates now where the Big East now apparently can be in San Diego for football. As a Big East kid who grew up watching it, it drives me insane because it's just, this isn't what I expect. And to me, you know, the Big Ten, the Big 12, all of those really conjure up football for most fans. But I think the Big East for most fans remains their first thought is of basketball. And you've pretty much trashed the entire basketball arm of things in a desperate effort to save football, when frankly, I really don't see what football they've added to make it so much more appealing. I mean, you really don't have still that marquee football program. So to me, you've just grabbed whatever you could to try to survive as opposed to grabbing what you should to become viable. I still don't see this as a viable league. I mean, I certainly can't imagine folks flocking to watch Central Florida versus South Florida in the first round of the Big East tournament in Madison Square Garden.
They wouldn't flock to see that at the Amway Center in Orlando. let's start with that. Can you give us an idea from the people you know how deep the division over the years, not recently, but over the years in the Big East between the basketball only schools and the combo football basketball schools?
You know, I think there is certainly some serious division there. Because I do believe that, you know, the basketball schools, most of them the founding members, still consider themselves to be the front door, so to speak, of the league. And instead, they have been pushed underground by the football schools. And so what one wants versus what another wants can't ever seem to agree. And I hope that they can work it out somehow or another. But I fear that they probably won't. And I wonder, too, as this goes forward, you know, if we still hear rumors of UConn moving or Louisville moving, those could be part of the reasons that they're leaving. They're tired of the infighting that goes on. And I know some people have said that the Georgetowns and the Villanovas and the St. John's have more influence than they think they do or other people think they do. I think combined they do. I think if they, you know, get together in a room and say, we together as a basketball schools matter, they will. But individually, they don't. That's the biggest problem right there for them. They only can exist relying solely on one another. So I'm not sure how that all resolves itself. But I do think there's got to be a resolution. I mean, this thing has gotten just out of control.
Dana, thanks so much. Dana O'Neill, ESPN.com. We'll get you back on the show shortly. Appreciate the time as always. One of the best Penn State graduate on top of it. All right. Show being brought to you today by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. CBS News, top of the hour, plus WKOK News as we continue with the second hour after this.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.